All right, this is Julie Kirkpatrick. We're gathered in the Peace Garden Room of the State Capitol at First. Thank you to the legislature for letting us use this room. Ours is under construction, but we're able to broadcast and conduct business as normal down here. So thanks to Matt and Steve and everybody who got us up and running this way as well. We're gathered for a work session on case number PU-20-356. This is the NODAC electric complaint versus Otter Tail Power. So I was the one that requested this work session. I know we have Commissioner Chrisman here in the room, and Commissioner Crotchus is calling in. Thank you both for accommodating this. Since I'm kind of going to, I would assume, sort of take some time to walk through my thoughts on the case and why I asked for the work session, I'll first kick it over to both of you for any opening comments, if you have any.
Well, my only opening comments would be to, as you already did, but to just reemphasize thanks to Matt and our team, as well as Legislative Council, for working this out, because our room's under construction, and very helpful to get to be able to use this room.
Very good. Thank you, Randy. How about you, Brian? Any opening thoughts?
No.
All right. Then I will move into what my thoughts are on this case. So the last time we met, I was sort of leaning towards this being more of a service area agreement issue, and I was very focused in on the service area agreements, or agreement that, and the boundaries of that, and all the issues kind of surrounding the service area agreements and my belief in what they're designed to do. During our discussion, I sensed some pretty strong direction from both of our staff attorneys on the case, and thought I should rethink what I was my conclusions and just and go back and read some of the additional case law, etc. So I have done that. I've read the other Supreme Court opinions kind of that our staff looked at in this and that were referenced in the orders, and I've actually just spent a lot of time just reading the law itself. I find it easier to focus in on the law versus how the attorneys from both the parties quote the law and use it to their advantage and for their arguments, which is their job. But I went back and just tried to focus in on what the law says. And so in doing that, I've really kind of concluded that we have the legal boundaries that I believe are at play here, within which we need to make our decision are, and all the parties also quoted these, but they're the Constitution, Article 7, Sections 1 and 11. And I'm going to go through each of these, and I don't think it'll take real long, but the Century Code, 4903, which is the electric utility franchises, both.
Could you go back?
Okay, sure. So the Constitution, Article 7, Sections 1 and 11. The Century Code, 4903, the entire 4903, which is in the PSC's area of law, but the electric utility, it talks about electric utility franchises, and specifically 4903.01.3 and 4903.06. And then the another section of law, 40-05.01, which is powers of municipalities, and 40.05.05, contracting for electric service. So those are kind of the big areas of law that I feel guide our decisions. In the Constitution, Article 7, Section 1. Section 1 says, and I'm reading from, I printed these all out, the purpose of this article is to provide for maximum local self-government by all political subdivisions with a minimum duplication of functions. So it lays out in the North Dakota Constitution a principle of a value for local self-government. And then in doing, and then later in that Article 7 of the Constitution, that whole article is about political subdivisions. Section 11 states, the power of the governing board of a city to franchise the construction and operation of any public utility or similar service within the city shall not be abridged by the Legislative Assembly. So those were quoted in some of the briefs, et cetera, but reading straight from the Constitution, those two sections, I think, provide some boundaries for us on this decision. And then as it relates to the Century Code 4903, that's, first I'll talk about 40-0501. That's powers to municipalities. And number 57 of that section of law talks about franchises and gives the municipalities the power to grant franchises and to regulate them, not for a period to exceed 20 years. Excuse me. And then 40-0505 grants cities the ability to contract for electrical energy or gas. So that specifies, you know, to municipalities that they get to do this. And then our section of law, 4903, section 01 of that, 01.3, talks about the electric public utility doesn't need a certificate of public convenience and necessity to extend lines within the corporate limits of any municipality in which it has lawfully commenced operations, which the city of Drayton has done here in giving their franchise to Otter Tail and then going out to that annexing the that new area. They have the ability to do that. But then it says, provided, however, that the extension doesn't interfere with existing services, doesn't create unreasonable duplication. So those are the factors we've all been focused on, those two things. And I believe we have the ability to do that and that this complaint, that we do have the ability to hear this complaint. But then if you look further into the service agreements section, which is 490306, it lays out very specifically how service agreements are to be negotiated and agreed upon and approved by the commission in the time frame of that. And it's a very specific process that is supposed to make service agreements valid. And it doesn't say anything about old service agreements. It doesn't say that they're still valid until somebody says they aren't. I mean, it just says, if you're going to have a service agreement, then you have to do these things. You have to, you know, file it with the commission and have us approve it, blah, blah, blah. There isn't such a service agreement at play here. And the parties clearly understood this section of law and could have done that. They could have negotiated a service agreement to regulate the service in this area, and they didn't. So I don't think the service agreement has much use in this decision, and I, in my opinion, I'm not considering it. So then it just goes back to those two issues. The two issues of, does the extension interfere with existing services? And does the extension create unreasonable duplication? And I think the record clearly shows that it doesn't interfere with the existing, it doesn't interfere with existing services. And does it create unreasonable duplication? I really feel like there was not much of a record provided by NODAC to even explain how much have they invested out there what were their investments way back in 2009 or earlier? How much was it, you know, and how much is going to be at risk by them, you know, not getting this customer, not serving out there. So I think the record is not strong enough to support certainly a difference of whatever 18,000 or what's the difference, 23,000, 32,000, whatever that amount is of the difference between their two service costs. Let's see here, 33,000. I do not believe represents unreasonable duplication. And so for the reasons of, I think the Constitution allows these communities the ability to go out and define their communities a next territory. This is not an example of checkerboarding where they went out and annexed something that wasn't contiguous to the city. It is right there next to the city. They did that. Otter Tail has a franchise to serve there. And I think that the Constitution does give the communities that amount of local authority to determine their future in that way. And I think case law supports that when there's when there is infrastructure built out to a location that has been annexed, it doesn't automatically mean that area gets to go to the co-op, but rather that there's a time period for a transition, but that it goes to the municipality over. And so I think that along with the Century Code outlining the two factors whereby we should, you know, make our decisions, and the record is not strong for NODAC on either of those two factors. I personally have concluded that I think that we would deny the claim or vote in favor of Otter Tail Power having this load. So happy to hear any questions or contrary thoughts or anything else that you guys might want to add to that.
I'm deferring to the portfolio holder.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, okay. Might have been muted. No, I really don't have anything to add. We talked extensively at the last work session, and I believe service should be provided by NODAC. And I'm well aware of the Constitution, Century Code. I read it extensively in the last. Wasn't quite the same, but it was related to a different case that we processed and had gone through it then. So there is the order to that would be in favor of NODAC that's out there. And I think I'd probably just be covering the same ground again. But that's where I'm at. I think it goes to NODAC.
Okay.
So, thanks, Brian.
So yesterday I talked to staff, legal, and asked for a few, I think kind of, I would describe them as minor changes to be made to each of the proposed orders, the one that would favor NODAC and the one that would favor Otter Tail. Have you both had the opportunity to see those?
I did receive them but I haven't read them thoroughly. I read the original ones and I noticed a pretty major typo at the end of the NODAC one, but
in the first round or
in the first
yesterday?
Round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like me to explain those?
Sure,
or do we
that'd
just
be
want
helpful.
To deal with the big issue?
If you want to change, go through the the small stuff, that'd be fine.
Okay, and I'll count on maybe Attorney Johnson to tell me if I missed something or if it should be described better. So I'm starting with the draft that would favor NODAC.
Okay.
And on the third page, findings of fact number 4, we added the date when Drayton awarded that that franchise. Not the exact date, but April of 2020. And then in findings of fact, no, we didn't change that because so never mind. So that's it for that page. And then on the next page, number 15, if you're looking at the previous version, where it jumps from the third line into the fourth line, it says, long-range investment in the development of the area that was later annexed. We took out the that and made it part of which was later annexed. I think that's just more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And then down in number 17 in the third line, kind of in the middle, it says effective for Otter Tail Connect. We added to connect. And I think that's it for that version. And then
real quickly, the ordering provisions were changed as well.
Oh yeah, there was that.
So there was just one was taken out because it wasn't really anything that we were ordering. It was covered in the, I believe, either finding the facts or conclusion of the law, and then just changed the language on the last one to Otter Tail would be restrained and enjoined from serving the McFarland's addition in that version.
Thanks for pointing that out. And then in the version that would favor Otter Tail, on the fourth page, in conclusion number 4, I think we just divided that sentence in two. It was very, very long. And so it didn't, I don't recall changing anything other than I thought made it more readable. And then on the last page in number 7, kind of in the second half of the second line of number 7, it says to serve the customer and NODAC and Otter Tail. We actually divided that mm-hmm. sentence, and now it's NODAC or Otter Tail will have to extend three phase.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same changes in the ordering provisions that Brian pointed out in the first version. So hopefully I wasn't meaning to do anything changes the goals mm-hmm. there. I thought those were just things I noticed as I was studying it and trying to come up with the right decision here. And then as far as that right decision, at our previous work session, I thought we were all on the same page and I thought we were all right. And I've certainly done a lot of reconsidering as well since then. But I haven't had maybe as much of an epiphany as you. I guess I still don't. I've gone from, you know, being in favor of the order to award this to, or to not allow Otter Tail to serve this to, I don't know where I'm really at on it. And I'll just explain a little bit. And I guess I'm still thinking and in discussions with legal. Commissioner Fedorchak, you mentioned a couple of things that I don't disagree with at all. The constitutional discussion of minimal duplication of functions, the legal of that, you know, not to interfere with existing services, not to create unreasonable duplication. And the question is, does it or doesn't? And, you know, so you look at these cases and they seem pretty clear in hindsight, but clearly the reason that they get to the Supreme Court is because they didn't seem so clear in the moment. And, you know, I look at like the Cass County case, and yes, with all the investment that the co-op had put into that area, it turned out that, as I recall, the commission originally favored in favor of the investor-owned utility and were overturned now. But either the Supreme Court determined that there was, you know, investment in that area that there would have been an unreasonable duplication of functions. This one is not as bright of a line to me. And I realize now I'm, you know, using a little bit of an exaggeration to make a point, because in this case, there is a straight line on a map being drawn between what NODAC is currently serving and the area that we're talking about, the McFarland Edition. It is a straight line. But if they had three-phase service another 100 feet out, would we find it acceptable for Drayton to have put in a little horseshoe around that so that then their service would be out of what's being annexed in and everything else? I don't think it's clear that it's not unlimited for the cities to make these decisions either, because either Fargo or West Fargo, whichever that was, didn't get their way. Bismarck didn't get their way on the checkerboarding or the previous case I mentioned in Cass County. And I think also an argument can be made that NODAC is providing service in this area. They're just 350 feet away if the area is the area west of the interstate. Now, if you draw a line right beside their service at the grain bin site, well, then, yeah, now they don't have service in the area. But how close do cities get to keep cutting that line to always X them out? And, you know, I believe I was the one that asked in the record whether they had contemplated future growth when they made the decision to serve the grain bin site, and they indicated yes. And I don't know that we ever heard anything that conflicts that. I sort of regret not asking for more detail, whether they had any plans or anything like that, or, you know, meeting minutes that would back that up. But even though it's not a part of the record in this case, one thing that we do know, because it's just out there and it's an undeniable thing, we've seen it for years on this commission, these rural electric co-ops don't provide three-phase service unless it's necessary, just wherever someone asks for it for a grain bin site. Because we've had multiple PCNN cases where the co-op, where the IOU was much closer and was able to serve a grain bin site that someone wanted that service to, and the co-ops were supportive of it. And so we know they don't just bring it anywhere. They brought it here for a reason, and he testified on the record that part of the contemplation was potential future growth with it being along a major interstate like that. But like I said, now I've talked about an exaggerated fact of how much they can carve around to make sure that whatever they annex in doesn't have facilities to duplicate. But in this case, it's not quite that clear either, because there is a straight line and it's either a quarter line or a section line. And so, like, I guess I'm back to the beginning. These cases always seem so clear once they have run throughout the legal process and become case law and are years in the rearview mirror. But I'm sure they weren't that clear at the beginning, and this one is not that clear at this point. So I don't know how much more either of you have to add to it, but at this point, because I have not really finalized my research and contemplation of this, I guess it sounds to me if I'm understanding you right, Commissioner Crassus is portfolio holder. It sounds like you'll probably be bringing the order that would prohibit Otter Tail from serving the area and essentially award it to NODAC. And so if you continue to feel the way you do, Commissioner Fedorchuk, I would say you probably should bring an alternate order and be ready to make a motion. And I'm not trying to, in fact, sure. I would rather not have the dramatics because it makes people all the madder at you. Yeah. You end up being disappointed. But I have not reached a decision.
So thank you, Randy. I can appreciate that. The one question I have, so it really comes down to the factor of there's not, you know, the unreasonable duplication. And when I look at the order giving it to NODAC, just don't see a lot of facts on the record for a case that it's unreasonable duplication. We don't even have in there. I mean, number 14, NODAC witness Einerson testified that annexation of the city of Drayton and implementation of its franchise with Otter Tail will foreclose future revenue opportunities from incremental investments made in 2009 or earlier. They sure could have provided the amount of money they invested in that for the record, to so we would have something to weigh in terms of what those investments are that would be now lost and duplicated. But what we have isn't even a duplication, it's just a cost to serve. That, I mean, that isn't even, that doesn't even make the case for duplication in my opinion, except for it does speak, I suppose, a little bit to how much investment is there to draw on. But you know, it's weak. It's just weak to rest, you know, to make the whole decision, which it does come down. I think we've all kind of agreed that it comes down to that final factor of no unreasonable duplication. And I don't think the $33,000 in the scheme of electric investments is unreasonable. So that's really what it comes down to for me, unless there's other factors that I'm missing that you guys feel speak to that ultimate decision point.
No, I agree. It's, for me, it's an unreasonable duplication and the fact that they're right there, 350 feet away on that side of the interstate. If it were 200 feet away, would it be different? If it were 25 feet away, would it be different? At some point, it seems like things have to be close enough that they can't be on every square inch.
I'm sorry, I think cost is a big piece of unreasonable duplication as well. Like the size of the investment is a significant part of how you would weigh unreasonable duplication. Because obviously having, in the one case, having a like, what was it, the light pole or something on the school grounds, that was, you know, they were serving right there, and that wasn't considered unreasonable. You know, that wasn't enough to weigh in the favor of that co-op in that case. Well,
maybe the lawyers are going to start waving their arms and saying your way of misunderstandings, but I don't think that case was determined based on unreasonable duplication. It was the fact that that city an exclusive franchise requirement.
Right. That's true.
That case is factually different because Crosby in that case did have an ordinance requiring a franchise. But what's different in that one is the co-op had actually tried to get one from the city and was denied several times. So the court kind of reasoned that, you know, technically they could still be given a franchise. It's just in this case, they've been denied. So that was the end of it. And in this, in our case that we're here looking at here, you've got NODAC asking the city about getting a franchise but taking zero action to do so. they have never approached the city about getting a franchise. And I don't know if that was intentional or not. I just don't know. The record doesn't say one way or the other. But that's just as far as they went with it. So that's where there's a little bit of ambiguity in this case. The fact that that Drayton has specifically through wasn't an ordinance or
resolution
through the resolution states that Otter Tail is supposed to serve it may be a de facto grant. I mean, it does grant Otter Tail. So I don't know. There's not a lot in the case law that would really give me a lot of guidance on how that's going to be interpreted, but it may be very similar to the Divide County case where they have the franchise to serve that area. And even though they don't have one that ultimately requires that you have one, I think that since there is no current customers in there, and based on all the other factors, that it basically means that Otter Tail should serve that area. It's very similar to the Divide County case in effect, even though it's a little bit different.
Anything else?
I do not.
Okay. And Brian, anything from you?
No, nothing else from me.
All right.
Just add one thing. The I know there was some discussion about the single line that's going through there, but I just would like to express that in the past, the court has looked at the crossing of lines through territory. And I guess I could read one quote directly from some case law that kind of addresses that to a degree. And I know we've seen this time and time again in our TIA cases. Said, in the light of the current regulatory situation, it may not always be possible to prevent some actual duplication of distribution facilities that may occur in practice when cooperatives extend their existing electrical systems. And I know that was one of the factors we're considering and looking at. And I just thought that might be applicable for as you guys could go forward and consider. The other thing I'd like to point out as well is I know Brian put these orders together for you guys so you guys would have something visual to grasp onto as you were looking through this. So there will probably be notable changes before they're finalized. I mean, we're going to rack the record and make sure everything is ultimately corroborated and slight changes. I mean, that's how I understood it, Brian, when we had our discussion.
Yes, they're not final by any means. If there's anything that you guys feel was important that you heard that you would like included in the findings of facts or conclusions of law, this is a fairly quick attempt just to get something in front of you. So if there's something I glossed over or missed that you feel is important, it can definitely be added in. I kept it just to what facts and things I thought were relevant as well, but happy to add anything or make changes. I appreciate Randy proofread. I didn't have a lot of time to proofread either, and my mind always reads it the way I want it to, whether there's extra words or whatnot in there. So I really do appreciate that and need it. So never offended when somebody catches some of that stuff for me.
So when you say the final order, so today is Tuesday, but we would have... They won't substantially change after Friday.
Were we planning on putting this in the next agenda?
That was the goal. Originally, Brian, right? You want to bring it to the next commission meeting?
Yes. And I think Brian, you summed it up well in our discussions that in terms of the substance of the orders, I think the primary points are listed. Well, the primary points in the order that I'll be presenting would be listed, acknowledging, and I think you summed it up well, this was to bring something forward for the purposes of the work session, knowing that we would have some tweaks, and I wouldn't call them major modifications, but some degree of modification, but just to have something to discuss, I think it's served the purpose well.
Commissioners, for the point of clarification, are we still planning on carrying forward with both orders then? and as it currently stands, if we're going to take action on the next one, because I didn't hear clear consensus.
Yes. Okay. From my perspective, yes.
Right, I'm not hearing anything the alternative on that. And I guess one other thing, too, because we were talking about...
Hold on, Brian had something.
Jack, Yeah, I think it's been stated a few times that I'll be presenting the order that would, in effect, make NODAC the service provider.
And I guess one final point I did want to point out, because we were discussing, maybe tipping points one way or another. I just like to, again, reiterate that with a complaint, there's one party that has the burden of actually carrying the burden of proof forward. And that would have been NODAC in this case.
Okay. All right. With that, it is 12:30. I think we've concluded this work session on case number PU-20-356. Thanks, everybody.